Well, as we continue our journey through Mark's Gospel this evening, we come to the very well-known story of Jesus calming the storm and then performing this great miracle on the other side of the lake, displaying his awesome power and authority over the spiritual realm. When I was living in Hawaii, I had a good friend called Joshua, and he was quite a wild guy. There were definitely one or two times that I was out surfing with him in huge Hawaiian conditions that I wasn't sure whether or not we were going to survive. And I think that's something like how the disciples might have felt on the lake in the boat on that day. The interesting thing about my friend Joshua is this. I think I've kind of toned down a little bit since then, but he hasn't. In fact, he's as wild as ever, and in May this year, he and three others will be rowing 3,100 miles of open water from Washington to Hawaii, during which time they'll be totally at the mercy of the seas in a tiny four-man rowing boat. They've all got families. Yet in a very real sense, we're all at the mercy of the seas and the storms of this life. Unless we have Christ in our vessel, because then we're at his mercy and he is merciful beyond measure. We used to sing a little song when I was in Sunday school. Some of you might know it. If you do, join in. It said, with Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Sailing. Yeah, okay, we'll stop there. Well, with this theme in mind, the passage this evening reminds us of many things. Firstly, with Christ in my vessel, I can have peace. We read in Mark chapter 4, verse 36, that leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. What does it mean when the Bible tells us that Jesus got into the boat just as he was? Well, he was extremely tired of preaching and of ministering all day long and for how many days in a row without a rest, we can't be sure. I often feel very tired at the end of a Sunday when I've preached two sermons and, you know, Jesus was preaching all day, never mind just two sermons, and performing all kinds of wonderful miracles and engaging with people. And so he would have been incredibly tired at this point. And so I think that's why the Bible says he got into the boat just as he was. He didn't stop and change or go for a shower or anything like that. He just climbed into the boat as he was, and he would have been extremely tired. And then in his humanity, we can understand that he needed to sleep. Mark chapter 4 says that he fell asleep, as we well know, and then the storm came along, and even the storm didn't wake him up, and the disciples woke him up, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be still, peace." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It's a lovely verse for us to remember as we go through the storms of life. Jesus says, "Peace, be still," and there was a great calm. Now, in Christ, we can often know an outer peace when Jesus calms the storms around us, as the disciples experienced on that day. But more importantly, in Christ, we know an inner peace that is for every circumstance, and in the end is of far greater importance. Psalm 46, verse 10 is a verse that we know well, and it's a verse that was reflected in the second song that we sang this morning. Be still and know that I am God. We often turn to Psalm 46, verse 10 for comfort, and rightfully so, but we need to remember that this particular psalm is written in the context of war. This verse is speaking about peace in the context of turmoil all around us. It's a reminder that God is greater than any storm that is currently raging around us, and therefore we can have peace. It's not that the storm has to stop before we can know the peace of God in our hearts, and I think that's why Jesus rebuked his disciples, because they only felt peace when the storm had stopped, not while it was raging, in the knowledge that he is greater than the storm. And I think that's a wonderful place for us to move toward. I think it's a place of spiritual maturity, that even in the greatest storms of life, even if the wind and the waves have not yet stopped raging, that we can know the peace of God because Jesus is in the vessel. And again, I think that's why Jesus rebuked the disciples, saying, have you still no faith? Even though I was here, you were still so afraid. Be at peace, not because the wind and the waves have stopped, but because I am here. And so as Jesus calmed the storm, we know that Jesus can bring outer peace as well as inner peace. And that's exactly what we read about in the encounter that Jesus and the disciples had with the possessed man on the other side of the lake. In the country of the Gerasenes, where Jesus and his disciples had landed, as we have just heard read to us, they met a man with an unclean spirit, and the Bible goes on to explain that his name was Legion, because he was there were many demons involved in what is called an unclean spirit, and this man lived among the tombs, and he came to know inner peace as well as outer peace in the very moment that he encountered Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 5 tells us that day and night among the tombs and the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. What a devastating picture that paints. It goes without saying that any kind of peace was beyond this man's imagining. That's the opposite of inner peace. It's the opposite of outer peace. Any kind of peace was just beyond imagining. Yet by grace, he too came to know the peace of Jesus Christ. As Jesus set him free from these unclean spirits that had tormented him for so long. And on that note, isn't it ironic that the unclean spirits begged Jesus not to torment them? And yet, it had been their delight to torment this man whom they'd possessed. It's also interesting to note how destructive the work of demons really is. I think in a relatively safe environment of Guernsey, we can sometimes forget how treacherous the demonic world really is. And a story like this is just a reminder of how destructive demonic forces can really be. And it's evident that they're destructive, because they were destroying this man's life, and then they went out and entered the pigs, and the pigs were destroyed as they entered them. In thinking of these things, I'm reminded of John chapter 10, verse 10, that says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." It's very sad that some people are drawn to the power of the demonic, because there is a sense of power there, but in being drawn toward these things, some people don't recognize how destructive Satan really intends to be. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And yet, then, in complete contrast to the work of demons, Jesus says of himself, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." My hope and prayer is that we know the abundance of Christ in this life, and also that we long for others to move away from being tormented by the demonic toward this life in all its fullness that Christ Jesus offers us. So this is a call for us to remember with joy what Christ has done for us. But it's also a call to be moved with compassion and passion to reach the lost. So with Christ in my vessel, I can have peace. And with Christ in my vessel, I can have purpose. As for the disciples in the boat, their purpose on that day was to go across to the other side of the lake to minister there with Jesus. Within the storm, they weren't sure if they were going to make it. But if Christ calls us to do something, as he had called the disciples on that day to go over to the other side, we can be sure that he will make a way, even if there seems to be no way. He will make a way for us to accomplish all that he has set before us to do. In verse 4, in chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Let us go across to the other side." And then in chapter 5, verse 1, we read that they came to the other side of the sea. The demon-possessed man also found a great purpose once he had truly encountered Jesus. Isn't that wonderful that no one is beyond redemption? No one is beyond being used by God. And we read of this in verses 19 and 20. Jesus said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. What a testimony, what a purpose. This man went from zero to hero because of the work of Christ in his life. Now, what about the fact that the healed man had begged Jesus to allow him to stay with the disciples and with Christ, and that Jesus didn't allow this to be the case? I don't know about you, but I've often found that a challenging thing. This guy really wanted to be with Jesus, and yet Jesus says, "No, I've got something else for you to do, and it's not to stay with me." Well, as do we. That man needed to trust the goodness of Jesus. Like the Apostle Paul wrote about to the Philippians, we also might long to be with Christ right now, but we need to trust God's timing for our lives. In Philippians 1, verse 21 to 24, Paul says this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If we love the Lord, we might want to be with Christ." And Paul, that's exactly how Paul felt. That's how this man who'd been healed felt. He wanted to be with Christ, and yet there was something else for him to do before that would be the case. Verse 22 says, "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which should I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better by far. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account." And I think there's a similarity there. It was necessary for that man to stay among his people because God had a purpose for him to accomplish in that place. Christ would have the man who'd been set free stay where he was and proclaim the good news about Jesus to his friends and family. And the wonderful thing is that we see quite clearly, I think, even from these few verses about him, that as he obeyed, we see that by grace, his efforts produced fruit. And I think that's very clear by the fact that we're told in Mark chapter 5, verse 20, that everyone marveled at his testimony. So with Christ in the vessel, we can have peace, and purpose, and with Christ in our vessel, we can have perspective. What are you afraid of? When Christ is in our vessel, we can have perspective in terms of what we fear. Mark 4, verse 41 speaks about the great fear that had filled the disciples when they recognized the power that Christ had even over the wind and the seas. Now, the interesting thing is that the previous verse, if you look at that in your Bible, implies that this fear was actually rooted in a faith that still needed to grow. And so Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith in this particular instance. But even if we consider that, generally speaking, the Bible makes it very clear that fearing the Lord is a commendable heart attitude. And the disciples feared the Lord, and that was a good thing. In contrast to the disciples who, I think, feared, they were filled with awe and so were drawn toward Christ when they saw his power at work. The people of the country of the Gerasenes were filled with fear that caused them to push Jesus away. We see that in Mark 5:17. They began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And in verse 15, it tells us clearly that the reason for that was that they were afraid. How bizarre that they were more afraid of Jesus, the miracle maker, than they were of this man who had lived among the tombs and whom no one could bind anymore, not even with a chain. For he had even been bound with shackles and chains, but he had wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles into pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. How bizarre that these people were more afraid of the goodness of Jesus than they were of this man who was demon-possessed. And there might have been others too. Perhaps they were also overly impressed with their herd of pigs that they had lost. And so they couldn't see that the value of a person is far greater than the value of anything else. But is it possible that we at times might be more negatively afraid of what Jesus might do in our lives than of what Satan might already be doing? And surely we can look around us and see that many in the world would find themselves in that situation, that they're more afraid of what Jesus might do in their lives than of what Satan is already doing. This seems to have been the case in the hearts of the Gerasenes. And thankfully, when Jesus is in our vessel, we have the perspective to see that we are nothing without him and that we need to fear nothing apart from him. Yet he is good and kind and loving beyond measure, and so we need to have no negative fear of who he is or what he might do. So with Christ in my vessel, I can have peace and purpose and perspective. Let's pray. Father, as we think about these things, we are so grateful that because of you and all that you've done, because of the finished work of the cross, we can have a peace within us that passes understanding. Lord, I mean, it goes without saying, we can't understand the peace that passes understanding, but we're so grateful for it. Lord, I pray that you would fill each one of us with a deeper and more substantial peace if we're struggling with anxiety or if we're struggling with fear of any kind. I pray that that would be replaced with a deep peace, that we would not be afraid of the storm because we know that you're with us. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to a purpose, and just as the disciples were able to get into the boat knowing that you'd called them to go to the other side, they were indeed brought to the other side. God, even in the storms of life, I pray that you would remind us that you're doing a good thing, and your word makes it very clear that you will be faithful to complete the good work that you have begun in us and also through us. Lord, we thank you for your perfect timing in all of these things. Lord, as we think about perspective, there's many things that we might fear in this life. But Lord, when we fear you, knowing that you are good and kind and loving, Lord, there's really nothing else that we need to fear. We know that you are with us, that you love us, and you will protect us. And as we've prayed, you will bring us to the other side. We love you, Lord. Amen.